is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Oh, hi there. It's Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas Hanukkah movies.
Hi there. It's Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas Hanukkah movies.
Hey, it's Alonzo. Lifetime seems to be doing a better job with the Christmas Hanukkah movies, and this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Wow, it is?
Yeah, it
is. I didn't know that.
And to answer your question, kind of phrased as a question, Alonzo, does it require some sensitivity and understanding of a different point of view? Lifetime seems to be doing a better job. That seems to be the MO. And we're getting all the best Lifetimes here, apparently, but they tend to just understand that maybe, you know, it requires some work to do it
Could
right.
Be.
It's wild. Crazy how that happened.
Maybe hire someone who knows what they're talking about.
Man, I am exhausted, Bran. Are you tired?
Boy, I tell you what, man.
It is hard to get up out of bed on September 27th when Bramblefest just happened.
Oh, wow. It was an event that happened.
We burned it down, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Alonzo was there. It was fantastic.
People will be talking about that demolition derby for years to come, I think.
Scavenger hunt got out of hand.
Yes.
We tried to reel everybody in, but that prize, that trophy was a hot commodity, and it got ugly, and there's been a splinter, and so I think next year we have to have two separate Bramble Fests. That's right. Yeah.
One.
There was a schism within
the
Bramble Fest.
One for the scavengers and one for now.
The hunters.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, that's right. Well, you live and you learn.
That's exactly
we
right.
can do. We'll figure it out. We'll have Bramble Fest for both of them. It's
that's
no
right.
Deal.
And what a day tomorrow is, man.
Oh, yeah.
I genuinely can't believe it's here. It feels like it's been forever, because it has been.
Yeah.
But I'll be home for Christmas movies.
Tomorrow. Please go pick up a copy. Pre-order it right now. Go to the online website retailer of your choice and pre-order it. Call up a local bookstore. Pre-order.
Go to a brick and mortar. What the heck?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
And if our book's not in your local store, just
tell them to kick rocks.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't do that.
No. Just ask them politely. Why you hate the holidays? And that'll get them.
For sure, that'll do the trick. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Don't you like Christmas, retailer?
I mean, come on. Yeah, you need to pick it up. And tomorrow's a big day. We're just sitting here on a Monday, sandwiched between the release of our book nationwide, worldwide, and Bramblefest, the first ever Bramblefest. So what a day it is to talk about a Lifetime movie.
That's exactly right. There's the Mistletoe and Menorahs felt like the perfect. If anything is going to get us from point A to point C, that's going to be the B.
Yeah, what would be a good
sure. B?
Go Bayside.
Mistletoe and Menorahs. Wow. Can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah.
Do we want to dive in?
Let's do it.
It originally aired on December 7th. 2019. Was it the first day of Hanukkah, maybe? I don't know.
I have no idea.
No, I don't think it was, actually. I think if I remember right, Hanukkah was later that year. Can you tell us?
I am looking up. It was Sunday, December 22nd to Monday, December
30th. That's right. It was a late start.
Yeah, because they did a double holiday.
Double holiday. Hallmark, they moved it back a weekend, if I recall.
That's right.
To
open up Hanukkah. That's right.
Because they, listen.
Yeah. Hallmark gets it.
They get it. Lifetime was just like
2019. Hallmark especially got it.
That's exactly right. This was right around the time Zola happened over at Lifetime.
This was the
hotbed.
That's right. We were in it.
Yes, we were in it, man.
What a scandal.
What the hell's going on at Hallmark? Is just, it's a dream of mine to work on. The whole scandal of Hallmark.
Dude, we got to work on it. We got to get something together.
We have clips, of course.
We have clips, but like getting something else, I'm a little bit more.
Yeah. Mistletoe Menorahs.
We have so much Happy the Dog audio. It's ridiculous.
My gosh.
It's absurd, dude. For it to go to waste would be a crime. Woof, 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 woof.
Woof. Racist. Woof, woof.
Yep, there it is.
It's homophobic. Woof, woof, woof.
It was weird. That's why they had so many dog whistles around. We did it. Yeah. Yeah. Zing. Man, zing, zing. That's what I'm talking about.
Mistletoe Menorahs originally aired on December 7th, 2019, and it went a little something like this. Christy's a hotshot deal maker who loves sweets, Christmas, and I guess her dumb boyfriend, Peter. She's pitching to a guy named Mr. Burger. Is that his name?
Yeah.
And they bond over their love of the holidays. He's like, hey, you should come to my holiday party on Christmas Eve. Pitch to the board. It'll be great. And she's like, yes, this sounds like so much fun. Until she finds out that it's not about Christmas. He loves Hanukkah. What? This is crazy. Knowing nothing about Hanukkah, her friend is like, hey, I have one Jewish friend that I can introduce you to. Maybe he can teach you a thing or two. So she goes to have coffee with a guy, and she orders an annoying drink. This guy behind her makes fun of her. Turns out that's the guy that she's supposed to be meeting. Classic. His name's Jonathan. He apologizes for being a jerk face, offers to help her with her Hanukkah project in exchange for her helping him learn about Christmas to impress his girlfriend. Jonathan takes Christy to get her first menorah and gives her a real lesson on the history of Hanukkah, which she has never heard any piece of this story ever before. To teach Jonathan about Christmas, Christy takes him to Tinseltown, a place that she cares about that she can't believe he's never heard of. It's a shop with Christmas ornaments and fruitcake. He's surprised fruitcake's not bad, and all I could think about was the lecture Alonzo gave us a few weeks ago about how fruitcake's not bad.
Coming back.
It's coming back. Lifetime's on the precipice of this.
The fruit cake assance.
That's exactly right. We see that Peter's kind of the worst, and Jonathan sees that as well. He tells Christy, hey, Peter's the worst. You guys are on different paths. You should butt out, get out of there. And she's like, who gave you, who are you to tell me? So she leaves. She gets out of there. She's mad at him. His girlfriend ends up breaking up with him. Christy's sorry to hear that, but we all know she's not. Sorry to hear that. She's working on a new toy, and that toy is a stockbroker doll that teaches you about investing. People keep telling her that's a good idea. They keep telling her that's a good idea.
Hey, thumbs up.
It is the night of Mr. Burger's Hanukkah party, and Christy breaks up with Peter beforehand, and he's just kind of like, well, the game's on, so I'll talk to you later. No problem. And so she goes over to Jonathan's house and ends up asking him if he wants to go. And he gets a suit, and they almost kiss under a mistletoe, except it's not mistletoe, it's parsley, so there's nothing you can do about that. At a fancy Hanukkah party, Christy is selected to light the final candle on the menorah. She does the prayer. She's even learned the melody, which she had never done before, so she really spiced it up a little bit. Her coworker ends up taking the idea about the stockbroker doll and pitching it for another company because, again, it is a great idea. Thanks to some quick thinking and a quick wardrobe change on a little doll, Christy pitches biblical action figure toy line with comic books to tell their stories. Mr. Burger thinks that's a good idea and pushes it to be ready in time for Passover. Jonathan and Christy kiss underneath the mistletoe. This time it's real. They agree to teach one another about all the holidays. And that, my friends, was
Mistletoe and Menorahs.
We did it.
We did do it.
Yeah.
Man, feels good.
Lots to digest there.
Yes. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll break this movie down here on Deck the Hallmark. I just saw...
Tammy Filo?
No. Tracy is around the corner. She's still sleeping from Bramblefest.
Still sleeping.
Still just hasn't gotten
I mean, ready. She did... She stayed up 72 hours straight. She was running around making things worse the whole time.
It's not going to produce itself.
That's right. Yeah, I was.
That's what she said.
It's quite a
and then it ended up producing itself.
Pretty much, yes. That's true.
What can you do?
Yeah.
Bramblefest, what a time. And the way that it happened, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. The way it went down was unlike anything I've ever seen.
I'm never having another peaches and cream again.
That's right. Yeah. You never forget your first, though. I'll say that.
Although you kind of you do as well. At the same
time. It does. You do lose
the memory, but the taste sticks with you. The taste
stays with you. That's right. That's right. You wake up the next morning, you're like, I don't know what happened, but man, I feel like I got to throw up.
Yeah. It's time to talk about mistletoes and menorah.
You switched it. It's not mistletoes and menorah. It's mistletoe and menorahs.
There is
reverse that.
Mistletoe and menorahs. Lifetime flick, Hanukkah offering from 2019. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. Let's start with the hot take. I'm going to start with you, Alonzo. Had you seen this movie? If so, what'd you think then? If not, what'd you think now?
I had seen it because I was a big Degrassi The Next Generation fan, and Jake Epstein.
Are you serious?
The male, I am totally serious.
What?
The Canadian teen soap at its finest.
I mean, when you think Alonzo's going to zig, he zags. I don't know what to tell you. A Degrassi Next Generation. I never saw it coming. Didn't see it coming. Yeah.
So Jake Epstein had played a big role in that show. So I tuned in for him.
Is that the one with Drake in it in the wheelchair or no?
That is the one with Drake in the wheelchair. Yes.
Drake plays a kid in a wheelchair?
Yes.
Drake's character gets shot on the show and then is in a wheelchair.
Okay. 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 Okay.
This is Drake though. Read the book, Drake.
No, I knew Drake was in Degrassi, but that was as much as I knew.
Degrassi.
The book that I read, that was all that was in it. Is it Degrassi? What is it?
It is Degrassi. Actually.
It's Degrassi. Okay.
Yeah. Degrassi.
Degrassi.
I'm dead.
I acted on the stage. I performed Degrassi.
I always think of him as Aubrey because, like, he wasn't Drake yet when he was on the show.
Of course.
Anyway, so yes, I had seen this before, so it was fun to watch it again. I think this movie's charming, actually. And after the so far now three hideous attempts by Hallmark to try and get Hanukkah in one of these movies, this one, despite a thorough absence of Oy Vey aprons.
That's right. Somehow.
they somehow pull it off anyway. I think it works. I think it's fun. It's not like great. It has a lot of the usual dopey stuff, and yeah, well, definitely some wait what's when it comes to the toy industry. But generally speaking, I think the two of them have a lot of chemistry. The leading lady was in the Pitch Perfect movies, and I think it works.
What's she do in that movie?
I think she's a bad guy.
I suppose
she's a bad guy, isn't she? She's on the other a cappella team.
I don't know. She's in all three of them though, so I assume that she was on the main team. But
Kelly,
who knows?
Kelly Jackley, J A K L E. I don't know how you say that.
Jackal?
Kelly Jackal?
Kelly, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she plays Jessica in Pitch Perfect, and I believe that is she's one of the bad ones initially. But
Did she come around?
I didn't see the third one. The second one was an abomination.
Who can say no to the hypnotizing performance of the Cup song?
That's right.
It's you just get captivated by it.
Yeah, I will say it was all downhill from there when it comes to Pitch Perfect. So in that sense, yes, I was mesmerized.
In Pitch Perfect 2, she pitches a Christmas mashup to Snoop Dogg. So to me, that's, I think, the pinnacle. That's the best part of Pitch Perfect.
You say so.
Here comes Santa Claus as a mashup for Snoop.
So awesome. We did it.
Who doesn't love that?
I know I've seen these movies and I remember no details from any of them.
It's no Degrassi. I'll tell you that.
No Degrassi. What is?
Where are our Oy Vey?
They're in the back. You want me to go grab
them? I'll go grab one during your hot take. My hot take is this movie to me was just okay. I did have fun. I enjoyed it for the most part. But I really did like the two.
Just okay leads. For you.
It's just okay.
Get out of town.
I'm sorry.
Are you serious?
I did enjoy it overall. I did really like the two leads. The guy from Degrassi, I always felt everything that he was saying, I felt like was the thing you say after you say a punchline of a joke. Like you're just getting over the funny that was the punchline. That's how I felt like everything he said was. And I liked them together overall, but just for the most part, it was just okay. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Surprised by this?
You loved Love Lights and Hanukkah with Savage. You loved it. You couldn't stop raving about it. And that it was a terrible take. But this, that take's probably worse than this take. But for you to turn around with this movie, which is the best of the Hanukkah TV Christmas movies.
Oh, well, no.
For sure.
No.
Yes.
Yes. It's not even close. That I mean, I just don't know.
Give me Savage. Give me Palaha. Give me this one.
Oh, good gravy. You know what's crazy is I probably just reversed the Holiday Date, which is the Oy Vey Apron movie, is hysterically bad.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
This one might be my least favorite Hanukkah movie.
I would
movie.
Say that one of the Hallmarks is better than the Double Holiday and Love
And keep in mind, this is on the back end of Bramble Fest, guys. Like,
yeah, but also, you're just like objectively wrong here. Like,
I don't think
your opinion matters, and it's important, but you're just wrong here.
Guys, I always come to bring surprises.
I can't, like, this is without a doubt. This is without a doubt qualitatively the best Hanukkah TV Christmas movie that I've seen where they mash up both of them. I'm not saying like that it gives my like stamp of approval per se, but the two leads are incredibly charming. They're funny. The movie's Wait What's, they seem to be a winking eye. Wait, what? They seem to be in on the joke throughout this movie, whether it's the order of the drink or the ridiculousness of the toy or whatever else it is. Like, they seem to be in on the joke. So the Wait What's are there, and they're aplenty, but they seem to understand that. They seem to understand what they have. The two leads are great, and it is the only one where I felt like they honored both sides of this in some way, shape, or form without treating everybody like they're dumb. Now, there are still parts in the movie where it's like, huh? What do you mean, latke? That's not a thing. Like, that person.
Is that even a word?
Yeah. Like, just pure, just meathead. Like, that person probably doesn't exist. And if they do, they're a lot more, like, kind about it, I think. And there's some stuff that it's like, come on, like you've never heard of, of decorating the tree or whatever. But by and large, like it really, like it works for what it's trying to do if it's your sort of thing. The leads are super charming and it's funny and it's better than the other Hanukkah movies for sure. There you go.
What's apron, happening? It's missing the things to wrap.
Wow.
And so it's like more of a...
like a kerchief.
Bib and tucker. Yes,
and then my face is missing at that point. Like,
yeah. It's... I can't believe somebody sent those to us. They're wonderful. They lasted us a couple seasons, so good for us.
Yeah, I don't know where the things are. So this is the straps would be what the things
could wear
are.
Could wear as a cape, but nobody would see it.
Yeah.
All right. Good talk. Glad we did it.
It's here though. From the superior.
Just so we can see. This is what you're missing if you're not watching.
That's
the
right.
YouTube.
The far
superior Hanukkah movie.
Oh my gosh.
What?
No. I can't believe we've seen four of these and you think this is the worst of the four.
Nah, I need to give him maybe.
That's terrible. Christopher Palaha's presence a good movie does not make. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I love him, but that movie's bad.
I do this one more.
There's not enough Boy Meets World nostalgia in the universe to make that movie.
It was terrible.
I beg to differ.
He likes this because of Degrassi. You should really be hitting back here. You should be punching. You should be on the
Degrassi.
Hey, look, the Savage one had one of the actresses from The L Word, which I was a big fan of, and even that didn't carry me through them.
That movie's real bad. Double Holiday, real bad. Holiday Date, real bad, but funny. This movie is bad, not real bad. It gets an upgrade to Don't Hence Buy.
The top of the heap.
That's right, by a mile.
Well, let's get to the feels, shall we? Yeah. What gave us feels in this movie? Alonzo, what you got besides Degrassi, of course?
Besides Degrassi. I got latke feels, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Those are delicious. And, I've seen so many cookies and so many gingerbread men get made in these movies that it's like, oh yeah, why not devote a montage to something savory?
I love it.
That felt new and different. And then mainly my feels were just like we've been saying, the two leads, super charming together, a lot of chemistry, a lot of charisma. And, more often than not in these movies, that's the one X factor that's going to elevate when the scripts are all generally at the same level of thing that they're doing.
Typically, when I watch these movies, only about 15% of them reach the threshold of I care if these two people end up together. And right. this movie does qualify. I cared if they ended up together. I did. Like they were, they sold it well. Did you not?
I loved them together. I thought they were great.
And they both have Baxters. So like there's a lot to juggle in this movie. You don't usually get that.
Classic Baxters too, especially hers. Mm. Man, one of a kind.
Lunkhead.
I had a lot of things to say about
my him, I can't say on the podcast. My feels are also a lot correlated feels. It brought me back to I think it was second grade when I had my first latke, and we had someone come in and they like made latkes, like, and we did a whole thing. It was a whole day of, Hanukkah festivities, which I actually, like, thinking back, I was like, that's actually really cool that I got to experience that. And so it brought me back to that. And I thought that they looked really good. And so, kudos.
There's a scene where he gives her a last minute idea at this party for a toy that isn't a work-related business toy, thank God. And she says, I could kiss you right now, which is a bit that's been done numerous times. But his reaction to that was my favorite reaction because he was just all in. Like, she's like, I could kiss you right now. And almost everybody else that does it is like, you know, smiles kindly or whatever. And he literally turns around and he's like, what's that now? Like he's like, okay, like you said it. Like, let's go for that. And I thought that was wonderful. It was a great reaction. It was really, really realistic and fun. And I thought it was funny and it was charming and endearing and I enjoyed it. What's that?
Oh, I have one other feel. I like the grandmother.
Yeah. Well, she was a bit creepy. I felt like that character could go either way. There's no one ever in her store. She's always putting her arm around you and taking you to the back. I'm worried. Like, I'm a little worried. I don't know if I'm there with you, Alonzo.
That's fair. I can't argue any of that.
Let's take one more quick break and we'll come back and we'll break this movie down with the Wait What's and the What the Lifetimes. Once upon a lifetime. What are we
once
saying?
Once in a lifetime. I don't know if we can have that or not, but we can.
Well, what can he do? I did it all right. Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy book release week. All of that stuff. Woo. Just celebrate. Come on. Yeah. Let's do this.
Absolutely.
Man, oh, man. And you can read our review for most of the Hallmark Hanukkah-related movies.
Just not Savage.
Savage didn't make the cut, correct?
That's right.
That's after the fact.
Holiday Date and Double Holiday you can read.
I love it. Yes. Very exciting. Let's get to the Wait What's. As Dan said, there are a lot of just things that are said in this movie that you could put down as a Wait What, but I think they're like on purpose. I don't know. It's hard to know how to juggle those. But let's start with Alonzo. Alonzo, what you got, pal?
All right. Well, let's start with the fact that this is a movie about a young woman who loves Christmas and is ostensibly Christian. And she falls in love with a guy who is Jewish and who teaches her about Hanukkah. What do they decide to name this female character? Christy.
Oh boy. I didn't even think of that. That is bad.
Christ with a Y. Like, I mean, okay, movie. We see you go. We see you coming. The whole notion of her family's pre-Christmas Eve celebration.
I have so many questions about this, Alonzo. So many.
For starters,
yes.
It happens on December 23rd.
That's right.
That's Christmas Eve.
That's how that works.
Pre-Christmas Eve is the 22nd.
That's right.
Or earlier.
Any day, but, really.
Or maybe they're pre-gaming. The party.
That's the only way that it can take. If you take
up at 8 a.m. and like doing Jameson waffles.
If you are somebody who in the debate of when Christmas Eve is, like some people say Christmas Eve is the evening of the 24th. That's Christmas Eve. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Like, and so if you take that as a Christmas Eve is the evening of the 23rd, that's fine. But the pre-Christmas Eve dinner it's dinner. What is the pre?
It feels like the script said Christmas Eve and somebody was like, it's just not enough. This Christ Y has to be super duper Christmas. We can't do three Eves. Let's do pre-Christmas Eve, which is just the worst title. I don't know. There's not a world where it works. It's dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah. Don't need any of that. Her toy idea is so terrible.
Yeah.
That when the boss says, I like it, let's do it, I thought there was going to be a whole plot point where he's secretly trying to sabotage the company.
Yeah, had to be.
Like something out of The Producers, you know? Oh, yes, let's sink our money and resources into the congressional action figures.
That's right.
With comic books.
The accountants. That also, well, what would it be like to open up a gift on Christmas morning that teaches you math?
Oh, man.
Like, stop it right now.
Seriously, it was so terrible. I thought, well, surely then that's the plot point, that he's just out to like destroy this company. He's a mole, something. I don't know what. At one point, she shows what is a prototype for the action figure, and it's one of those 3D wooden artist model things with like a piece of cloth.
That's right. Around. Yeah, and that just goes great. It goes like gangbusters.
That is not a prototype. I hate to break it.
One of my was that. Her, like, she was able to take a prototype of a guy in a suit and just like rip the white shirt part of it and just, I don't know if there's enough. I don't know if there's
that became a full toga.
I don't know if there's enough fabric there to end up with what she brought to
the guy. Basically, it's gets headless Julius Caesar, and he's like, this is the best idea I've ever heard. We did it.
I have never admittedly celebrated Hanukkah myself, but I have to call shenanigans on the fact that they have kids who are spinning the dreidel on a carpet.
Oh, no. Yeah. Come on, people.
No one does that. No one can do that.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
You need a hard surface to spin atop.
Man.
That's just physics.
Yeah, that's just science. Yeah. You learned that from the science doll you got as a kid, right?
I did. The comic book attached.
That's right. The comic book science action figure. That's what happened.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. That was
okay.
Pete really loves the sports, really loves the games.
He loves the red versus white.
He loves a good game.
He loves it.
But what he loves even more than the game is wearing whatever that jersey is.
Yeah.
This is to for those of you that didn't see it, Pete, whenever he is either working out or, you know, at the end, he's getting ready to go to the game.
Yeah, that's right.
He's wearing a jersey that's just a basketball and a fireball around it. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't anything.
It's the American flag, I think, that really becomes distracting.
Yeah.
It just accentuates how very Canadian this entire movie is.
This furthers my, you know, existential question about how, and throughout all of these movies, there is a single sporting game going on between red versus white, where every competitor in football and basketball and baseball is wearing red or white, and they're just competing, and it's just one big long game. And
endless.
So, yeah, every night the game is on, and it's one of those sports. It's red versus white. You have a team. He is clearly team red, and he's really pulling for him. Go red, right? I just want to know who wins.
The woman goes in the snow globe. The guy watches the game.
That's right.
Just the
red versus white game. That's exactly right.
Going another thing about Pete. Again, I know they're trying to make him the bad guy, but this guy hears the word latke. And he says, is that even a word?
Come on, man.
Pete, come on, Pete. And then he follows that up with just being downright offensive. Like, I don't want any part of this culture.
But like,
I don't want any of this.
Well, what's crazy is that, like, you're a picky eater.
Yes.
Right? You get uncomfortable quickly if you don't want to eat food. And you do a great job of being polite. We've literally been in a foreign country together where someone has homemade a meal that really was going to turn your stomach just thinking about it. And you were incredibly kind. But this is not like, this is fried potatoes, okay?
Exactly.
You've been watching Red vs. White for years, bro. You love fried potatoes. I know it. You know it. You didn't even try the fried potatoes. Look, if it's like, me and you put fried potatoes in front of me, I'm going to give it a go. Like, I'm going to at least try.
Like, latkes are better hash browns.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
They are superior in every way.
I mean, come on, man.
How anti-Semitic do you have to be to turn down a hash brown?
Right. I mean, no kidding.
I don't even want any part of this.
And then he goes,
he gets Chinese food.
That's right. Yeah. Fried potatoes, no way. Let's order Chinese. That is this guy in a nutshell. Go Team Red. Like, that's what's going on there.
Go Team Red.
It's wild.
Go Team Red. I still am unsure if everybody's playing a prank on her when they say that it's a good idea for a toy. Because the only person who's willing to tell her it's a bad idea is someone whose job it is not to give that advice. Yeah, like, she's the only one who's willing to be like, that's a pretty dumb,
pretty terrible
pretty
idea.
Dumb idea. She's the only one who is willing to say that.
She needs Tom Hanks from Big to come in and say, nobody wants to play with a building.
And last but not least, this poor guy, who's the main guy's name? What's his name?
Jonathan
Degrassi over there. What's the deal with his girlfriend? Because the way that she broke this down, it was, when she comes in, Chrissy, after the breakup, comes in after the fact. He's like, well, she got to thinking and she thought it was too soon to meet the parents, and that got her thinking some more and just called things off altogether.
I understand her thought process. What I don't understand is just what she is in general, because she literally is in town for a week, never goes over to his apartment, not once, because he's decorating for Christmas. And then she meets what is by and large a stranger and is enlightened to the fact that if everybody that meets Jonathan likes him, if my dad meets him and loves him, then it will be past the point of return. There's a point of no return and we're past it. That's right. So like, I get how she goes, oh my goodness, if I don't really love this guy, he can't meet my dad and my dad love him, because no, my dad's never loved anyone. If he's going to love this guy.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I get that. I just don't understand what she is. She shows up twice in this movie, but basically has no other contact with her boyfriend the whole time. She's from out of town. Is that accurate?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't get that one. That makes sense.
I think maybe they were going for flighty heiress or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They could have, one line of dialogue would have
helped. Yeah. It would have worked a lot better than what happened there.
She was doing Christmas activities.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
You don't know.
No, I don't know.
As you do.
Yes. Dan?
I am in desperate need of a sequel where this guy finds out that this girl is not Jewish, because she pitches this guy the whole idea that she's Jewish. She says at the end of the movie, you remember when we were little and we would play with the Maccabees? She didn't even know how to spell Maccabee. She learned about that 5 minutes ago. When that Joker finds out that she's not Jewish, it is on. I am telling you, it is on. It's not going to be good when he finds that information out. We have a protagonist that literally lies about her nationality or her ethnicity, whatever you want to call it. She just lies. That's what she does. That's her secret. She lies.
Yes.
It's wild. It's wild to me. I thought she was going to come clean.
She's got the stuff to be an executive.
I thought she was going to come clean at the end of the movie, and it just didn't happen. It never did. Hey, you guys think an accountant that teaches you math as an action figure is a bad idea? Let me introduce you to post-parent teacher conference drinks, where apparently in this world, you go out to happy hour with the parents of your students. Look, I've taught a lot of kids in my life, and there has been a lot of good parents, but what you don't want is to have a conference with because the parents that come in for the conferences, they're not the ones that are happy, like spoiler alert. And you go out to drinks afterwards with those people, it's just gonna get ugly. It's gonna get ugly. You shouldn't do that idea. It's a bad idea. Abort, abort. Do not do it at all costs.
So you're saying you do have a line?
Yes, 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 okay. Yes. That would be the line for sure. He says he teaches high school history. He is teaching some real Doogie Howsers, because at that thing they're selling stuff at, those kids are like maybe 12 years old. I mean, if they're in high school taking history, God bless them. At one point, the Baxter, he says the reason that he's over at her house to watch the game is because his cable is out. And that is not a sentence people say in 2019. Like, it just isn't. Like, bro, he's like 25. The cable's out? Like, come on, man. Like, you got a cell phone.
It is if you're hoping people are watching Lifetime, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I got to watch Red vs. Green, but the cable's out. What am I going to do? I don't understand that one at all. At one point, someone says to another, hey, you're hip on all the latest trends. I love that line too. For sure. They work on decorating a tree for no less than 5 days in this movie. And at the end of the fifth day, they say, it takes so much work to finish a tree. Well, no, like it doesn't. Like it does. It does. Like it's an afternoon or a day. But it doesn't take a week. It doesn't take a week to decorate a tree. Like, I think we've over-exaggerated, you know, what that is.
That does remind me of one more that I forgot to write down because I said it out loud, which was when she says this line, when she sees, hears about the donuts for the first time in the latkes, she says, boy, Hanukkah's so random, isn't it? Like, literally, no, it's not.
No, it is.
It is significantly more organized than Christmas.
So, yeah.
Half of Christmas is stuff that we stole from the pagans.
That's right.
Anyway.
Like, if you want random, go to Tinseltown.
How about, you want random? How about a dude in a beard goes down your chimney, puts toys underneath the tree? That is, there is a historic, are you kidding me? Like, it is just, Hanukkah couldn't be less random. Like, that is.
Everything has a point, a reason.
For sure.
For thousands of years.
I'm a little bit worried that her parents are serial killers, and I'll tell you why. She brings over Jonathan to the pre-Christmas Eve dinner. And he got dumped that day, by the way, but he's just ready for it. He's here for it, so God bless him. And they come in the house, and they're all standing around this picture, family pictures, and they talk about, you know, how it's important to see things from somebody else's perspective. And then the dad says, come on, let me introduce you to everybody else. There's nobody else in the house. Not a single other person is in that house. There's not a child, a grandchild, a cousin, a nephew. There's no one else in the house. They sit down to eat the dinner. It's just the four of them. There's nobody else there. Nobody else. What?
No, pets. I don't know.
I mean, this is pre-COVID. Like, why say the line, let me introduce you to everybody else, when there's nobody else on set? That is worrisome, guys. It's just not okay. And then they hear carolers outside, and they go out, and there's five carolers, and the Jonathan goes over, and he goes, hey, do you guys know the Hanukkah song? And they all do, which is great. All five of them who are going door-to-door singing Christmas carols just know this Hanukkah song like that. And there's one particular extra in that scene who believes that song is in the book. And that is my personal favorite. Like, you just flip to the page Hanukkah. That's what you did. You just, let me get to page Hanukkah real quick. All right, we're good.
Appendix.
Let's go. Page Hanukkah. Now we're ready to go. That's all I got.
It's time for what were you going to say, Alonzo?
No, it just occurred to me. This 2019 was also the year of Sense Sensibility and Snowmen, right?
Yes.
Because they're both set in Chicago, where all Christmas activities take place in an alley.
That's right. Yep, they're all in the alley. That's right. What are you going to do? Imagine if the carolers did have a songbook with all the songs from all the different traditions. And they just had to know them all. Like, that's like a caroler certification that we can't even live up to. Like, that's great.
All right, everybody, let's do the Saturnalia song.
That's right. Ooh. Oh, get over there. Quick.
It's time for Once in a Lifetime. I don't know.
Yeah.
What have we been calling it?
I think we did What the Lifetime. Let's go Once in a Lifetime. I love it.
I like it. Where we wonder what could be maybe having some clever words. Not Panda.
What? Oh, that's the second time.
I understand I'm a weekly interloper on this program. You don't have to rub salt in the
There's worse people.
Yeah, that's true.
To be called.
It's true.
Absolutely. I've said before, my mother one time went through the names of all of my brothers and then the dog getting to me. So.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Alonso, my friends.
Brandon.
Tell me what you got.
Well, funny, my first one actually kind of pivots off two things that Dan said, which is that there is a dark undercurrent to the grandmother and the whole notion about lying to the guy. What happens now that Christ Y and Jonathan are a couple when Tova decides, okay, so when are you converting? Like, that's a conversation I want to be around for, because I just suspect it's at least going to come up. No one's going to force her at gunpoint, but like, surely it's going to be asked. What about the children? When are you converting?
What are those Christmas? What about those Christmas, like just family things? Like, it seems like that they're going to at some point intersect if Hanukkah's ever running through Christmas at some point. So indeed, that could be interesting.
So
as well.
So the serial killer parents are going to meet the other side of the family. It's going to be a whole thing. And then also, I'm just wondering, the biblical action figures, will they do any, will they have a foothold in the marketplace where the VeggieTales already exist?
Well, and especially when these are just Old Testament, I want to be clear. So
that's, yes, they were very specific about that.
So somehow,
I for one want my Ruth and Esther box set with the cartoon, with the comic book that explains their story.
Of course. But I also think if there was a way to shrink the accountant action figure demographic, maybe Old Testament action figures might do it. That might do it.
Yeah. There will also be the adults only Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon, of course. No, for sure. Yeah. A whole collection there. Yeah.
They have a fart, like, so there's a Hanukkah version of The Elf on the Shelf, which I just feel like has already got the footholds here in this market that she's trying to go after here.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
And only, then they have like, you know, do you all know what I forget what they're called, but for like toy collectors, there's like, you know, you get a case of, you know, whatever, and then there's the one figure that like, there's like one per case of like, they're really hard to come by.
Yeah, inserts. They're inserts.
Yeah, or something like that, like a sweep figure, I forget. Yeah. But anyway, I think there's going to be, like, you have to really be a hardcore collector to get your Ehud the Left-Handed Judge.
Oh, man, you're doing it now. Look at you. I mean, like, you are just absolutely going at it now. You got Ehud out here. We're not messing around. You actually, there's one with Deborah driving a spike in the temple. That one's also for adults. There's a lot of gore in that one. Maybe not for kids, but teenagers, I think, would love it.
The Lot's wife, keep it away from water, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I have a feeling we could do this all day.
I got to know about a guy named Tater. You might be asking, who's Tater? Tater, the basketball jersey that I mentioned in my Wait What with the basketball and the flame and the American flag, he's getting together with some buddies. They're going to go to a suite for the
box
game.
Seats.
And they got the matching jerseys. The guy who opens the door, he turns around. We see that they've got their names on the back of the jerseys, and his name that he went with was Tater. And I just got to know about Tater.
Tater.
That's what I want to know.
As long as it's not a latke, that's all that matters.
I was going to say, maybe the boyfriend, that's why he wouldn't need a latke, because it made him think about Tater.
Oh, Tater. No, yeah. Pouring out for Tater.
You have to. Dan, what you got?
I know that this line was probably bad on purpose. But I have to know the impetus behind, we're going to name the opposing toy company Toys and Tricks. Like, Toys and Tricks. Like, it's either a toy or it's a trick. You know, we're the bad guys. What should we call ourselves? Toys and Tricks, of course. What else would we call them? Who would call their company Toys and Tricks? I want to know more of their story.
Can you imagine if you get a trick? Like, how disappointed are you?
Oh, man, so disappointed. You open up the box and it's just bleh, just nothing.
You get a basketball and you go to bounce it and it just deflates.
You open up your lot's wife. It's just salt. It's wild out there.
It's made of sugar. What?
Yeah, that's all I got.
We did, everybody. Congratulations. So good. Pick up a book tomorrow, right?
Yeah, do it.
Or today, or any day that you want to.
Absolutely.
Now until forever. You get a lot of them.
That's right.
Alonzo, you got any words of wisdom for people to go with today?
Yes, not only are latkes delicious, and are latkes delicious when served with sour cream, as the film indicates, but I'm going to throw this out there. Also, throw in a little applesauce. You'll be glad you did.
I can't. No, what? Are you serious?
Applesauce and sour cream on a latke.
I just don't know. You are turning. Your stomach's turning. I can tell already.
Trust me on this.
Well, he doesn't do sour cream either.
Yeah, I would. I would also pass on that.
Okay, then maybe just do the applesauce.
Ooh.
I'm telling you guys, I'm not just making this up.
Right.
This is how I'll eat them, and they're great.
I love it.
Okay, Alonzo. Okay. I guess so. Yeah. Congratulations, everybody. Congratulations to us.
That's right.
We'll be back tomorrow with just another one.
A book episode.
No.
No, that's the steeplechase one.
Yeah.
The Mickey
DeLoach. Oh, in theory.
Yeah, we watched it on the Bramble Jam.
The
Bramble Fest on the big screen.
Oh, boy, it's going to be great.
The big screen.
Until then, may we be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas. Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.